Welcome to the Single Wives Podcast, a place to explore ways to both survive and thrive.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Wendy.
And we'll be your hosts. So let's get this conversation going. So I think when emotional safety isn't possible, we do, again, have a responsibility to follow what God's word for us is. And so part of that is, you know, we have a responsibility to protect ourselves. Think of David and King Saul, right? He was not given permission to kill Saul, even though he had three opportunities to do so, but he was given permission to flee and to protect himself because he was called to something higher. And he knew that and was following through with God's orders on that. So I think that we have a responsibility to protect ourselves as God's creation, right? Just as much as we're not to kill somebody else, we're also not supposed to kill ourselves, emotionally or otherwise. And so I think there's that. And I think that there's also this responsibility to realize that, you know, when you have entered into a covenant, you want to give reasonable opportunity for the right thing to be achieved, for God's wish within that covenant to be achieved. And so I am a big believer in not just severing, you know, not just walking away, but creating steps into what are we going to do to better achieve safety. And again, if that person is willing, if that person is capable and actively working on it, hopefully we can start to make some progress. And hopefully, you know, we can heed God's word in the direction of how we're going to follow through with that. But that may mean a separation. That may mean some pretty firm boundaries. And if your partner is not in agreement with that, that may mean a more, a bigger separation. So maybe we start with an in-home and then we go to out of the home, those kinds of steps. So I think when we're talking about safety, and again, this isn't physical safety that we're talking about. We're talking more about emotional safety, spiritual safety, those kinds of things. We're talking about safety. We are not trapped. We have choice. Yet in a covenant, we also want to give opportunity. So we don't want to just say, line in the sand, done. We want to say, here are the choices that I'm making in order to give us opportunity. What choices are you willing to make in order for us to have opportunity? Because it's person plus compromise, which equals harmony. And so if we can't get to that place of compromise to get to a more harmonious place of safety, we're stuck. And to just remain in that stuck place is only going to beat both of you down.
What does it mean for a woman to be trapped? You know, we have women who come in and they feel trapped or even verbalize, I am trapped in this relationship. And yet you say, no, we're never trapped. Mm-hmm. What is it that causes us to feel trapped?
I think, again, that comes from this place, this obligation of wanting to do the right thing, right? Of I'm a Christian woman, I'm a godly woman, and I'm in this marriage, and like, that's the right thing to do. I just got to stay in it. Wait a second. What are you doing to change the fact that this is a covenant that goes against God's will for the marriage? What are we doing to work on that? So God's not calling us to just lie down and just accept everything that's happening, right? There is action, again, in our faith. So what steps are we taking? And sometimes that can be really scary. You know, if there is a bigger element of some physical abuse and stuff, and we may need to get some outside resources to help us. But there are things available to at least, again, give opportunity, and where opportunity isn't being taken, for you to have a healthy and appropriate boundary. That doesn't just say, you know, I'm going to belittle my spouse, or I'm going to, you know, hang him out to dry, or I'm going to take advantage of him, or I'm going to do this really cruel thing. Not that, right? We still have a responsibility to be loving. We still have a responsibility to be caring, but that doesn't mean that we have to be unsafe in the situation either.
Right. And I think you hit a good point in that a lot of times we get caught in this cycle of wearing our negativity glasses. All we see is are the wrong things that he does, or all we hear is the tone behind what he says that we mind read. It may or may not have been his intention to communicate that tone. And we talk about him, we cut him down, we gripe about him, whine about him. And whether we do that out loud or not, doesn't matter. We have such an internal world where we do the same thing. And really, we're creating an unsafe environment in doing that. Even when mentally, right, we're rehearsing the script, the negative script.
And what is that doing? That is doing what God has warned us against, which is creating bitterness and hard-heartedness, right? And who is that hurting? That's hurting you. Because again, that gives access to the enemy. That gives access to the enemy of that vulnerability to work in that and to further feed on that and to just explode the situation. And yes, you said mind reading. I often call it narrative building. We do that so frequently where yes, there maybe is a harsh tone, and that could be legitimate. That could be perceived by many people as a harsh tone, but maybe that truly is not this person's intention. And so am I sensitive to this harsh tone just because it bites at me? Or is it, again, something about me that like I keep going to a frustrated, bitter place about that hard tone without exploring the why and realizing this isn't where he's coming from. This is not what he's trying to portray. For whatever reason, this is his tone. We see this oftentimes with autistic individuals. They really, really struggle with that regulation, and it isn't their intention. And a lot of people get really frustrated with this lack of emotional capacity, and they're just giving me facts, and they're not aware of my emotions. And okay, how much of that is narrative and how much of that is actuality with what this person is also going through? And if we can, again, even when we have an issue of safety, can we still have compassion for, you know, this person is monstrous, let's say, you know, I'll use an extreme. This person is monstrous. I can have compassion, but this person wasn't created to be monstrous. You know, this is God's creation right here. So I can have compassion that something's hurt them to make them that way. I can also have boundaries that I am not going to allow that to spill over on me and impact me in a harmful way.
Absolutely. The narrative building that you mentioned, I have an example. I travel a bit, and some for work, some for fun. I just love to go. And on a recent trip, my husband had not said a word. You know, I long for him to say, oh, I'm going to miss you, and let me take you to dinner, and blah, 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 blah. No, none of that. But he came upstairs just before bedtime and said, I put a hammer under the driver's seat for you. Okay. And it was just like that. I put a hammer under the driver's seat for you. And I just internally, right, started building this wall. Hey, you know, right. What good is that? And that's all he can come up with. And, you know, he's never missed me. It's okay if I go and leave. And it just built and built. And I complained more and more. When in reality, he was doing a very caring thing from his perspective. And not only that, he communicated it. So he went a step further. You know, he communicated in his own way that he'd put that there. And that was really an expression of love. But my narrative building, poof, blew it all out of proportion.
Right. And it is an expression of love that's not natural for him either. So there was effort in that, right? There was a desire for that to be expressed and to be received. And we can be really blind to that because it's not natural for us either, right? I put a hammer under your seat. Oh, you love me. We don't think, you know, that's not natural for us either, right? But this is a part of being in a covenant and really learning your partner and really giving them the benefit of the doubt of, okay, you say you're not being intentional with that tone, or you say that, you know, you're thinking of me and that you're loving me. So like, let me figure out like, how are you actually doing that? Let me test that a little bit, right? How are you actually doing that? I think that that's huge. My husband and I, we argue Yes, we definitely argue at times. And we've gotten to the stage where we can look at each other at the end of an argument and we can laugh and it's done and it's resolved. And we can talk about it calmly afterwards and that's fine and that's great. But we've gotten to that place where, you know, now I've learned like he's safe enough that I can do that with. And he feels that I'm safe enough to do that with too. And there's not just this angst at each other and this, you're against me and I don't trust you, but we're arguing about dinner. Do you see what I'm saying? But to others, that may look, why are you guys laughing? What is wrong with you? That's not how you resolve the conflict, right? This isn't cookie cutter stuff. You've got to be willing to really explore the situation for what it is and not just be filled with hope that it's going to be the cookie cutter stuff, that it's going to be the romance and it's going to be the fairy tale, and then let down when it's not, because your partner isn't designed that way.
You know, really, it's you found the fairy tale that fits your story, your situation, your relationship. Yes. And we've been taught a lie with all of the Cinderella and fairy tale kinds of things. And even I think within the church that, you know, you get married, you have kids, it's bliss. When it's really kind of dirty and
yeah, boy,
from the day to day, the methods, like you said, they're not cookie cutter. Marriage counseling, the books, all of that can come across as if you do A plus B plus C, you'll get D. And that's just not how it works, at least in all situations. Safety is something that I think you mentioned the word learned. You know, we've learned over time how to argue and then laugh. Mm-hmm. And it's been something you've probably, I don't know, but you've probably argued without the laughter enough that you've learned over time. And it's the same with safety. It's like you don't just take your heart out of your chest and offer the whole thing over to someone without learning. And knowing that, hey, my heart is safe with you. You know, in our situations, it may be that I can offer a tiny piece of my heart at a certain time. And I've learned that. And maybe I get my emotional needs met elsewhere, but I can offer this little piece of my heart to him. And it's learned. And that's a little piece of safety. We're not asking for the whole barrel of safety.
Right. And again, because we live in a fallen world, would God love that for us? Yeah. You know, that's the design, but we live in a fallen world. And so don't be a victim in giving your whole heart to somebody who is not safe. Don't put yourself in that position. So if you've learned enough that, hey, and yeah, great. My husband and I can giggle after an argument now, right? There was a lot of learning that had to come before that happened. And there was a lot of, you get this little piece and you get this little piece and you've proven that you're trustworthy and you get this piece on both ends, not just his, but mine as well. And so don't be the victim that just hands that all over. Be wise with yourself and how you guard yourself. Don't become bitter. Don't become hard-hearted. Be wise in what you're doing and what you're exposing yourself to. Again, don't just walk away, right? We want to give opportunity because we've made a commitment to something. And eventually that may mean walking away, whether that's that other person's choice or your choice, because you've given it all the opportunity that you can. But don't let that be the first step. Don't give your whole heart as the first step, and don't just walk away as the first step either. We're trying to find safety and if that's possible, but it doesn't mean to just be assaulted in the process.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And my thoughts go back to when we first started this podcast, talking about coming out of the barricade, things are so hard, and going to a tower of refuge in God. And so we have that place that we can offer our whole heart.
Yes.
We can come to him naked, as it were, right? In total vulnerability. And it not only hope for safety, but expect it from God.
Yeah.
We can expect safety from God. And then he equips us, he helps us to know, okay, when you go back into the relationship, you can offer this little piece, right? And I will be there and I will be responsible for the rest.
I think that's the way to end it. I agree wholeheartedly.
Right. Okay. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for connecting with us for another week. Please continue to check out our resources on our website at singlewives.org and also on our social media platforms.
If you find the podcast to be helpful, please share it with others who are also looking for a community. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. Until next week.